All right, thanks for the chance to speak with you today. I want to tell you a little bit about some of our work at University of Florida in breeding for Bigamovirus resistance, and in particular the use of the TY6 gene and some work we've done there. Please note now in the bottom left corner the co-authors here of the presentation. Jay Scott and I have worked for years on these projects trying to develop cultivars with resistance to try to locate all the genes in the germplasm. Nama Minda and Lucas Mueller aren't mentioned on the abstract, trying to get that rectified, but they've helped do some of the sequencing work that I'll show later. There's my contact information in the bottom left. Bigamoviruses are a really serious problem in tomato production, especially in tropical and subtropical areas. All right, so these are some symptoms here of a couple of different bigamoviruses. On the right is tomato yellow leaf curl virus. It's probably the most widely known bigamovirus in tomato. It's a monopartite virus. And then on the left is a picture of tomato model virus, bipartite Gemini virus, or bigamovirus. Like I said, TYLCV is probably the most widely distributed, widely known. The bipartites are some of the most difficult to breed against, and I'll try to illustrate that with some real-life examples coming up. These viruses are transmitted by the sweet potato whitefly, and so unless you're in greenhouses, much of your control efforts are aimed at controlling the vector or at host resistance. Okay, so in terms of host resistance, we've got a number of resistance genes that have been identified, all except for TY5. These came from wild species of tomato. Okay, a lot of them came from Solanum chilense. TY1 and TY3 are actually two alleles of the same gene. They've been determined, but I keep them separate still because they have a little bit of a different phenotype there. Solanum habricates is the source of TY2. In the University of Florida breeding program, we've relied heavily on these wild species, especially Solanum chilense. A few different accessions there. This work in breeding for resistance has been ongoing since 1990, well before I joined the program. Jay Scott has been carrying this on. And throughout all those years, prior to the development of linked markers for each of the known genes, all the selection was done in the field under inoculated conditions with both of these viruses, tomato model virus and TYLCV. Separate trials, dual selections going on every single year. And that helped a lot in maintaining a number of different resistance genes in the program. It's been a huge goal of the program to find all of these genes, to characterize each one individually and have markers linked to each one. And so the data I'll present here is kind of the culmination of many years of work there. A couple years ago I presented on the identification of TY6. So there's a picture of a line there in the middle, Florida 8383, that contains TY6. Had a mapping population developed using this line. And we genotyped this population with a subset of markers that were developed through the SOLCAP project. And so we genotyped with about 384 SNPs out of over 7,000 SNP markers that were developed there. And of those 384, about half of them worked. They were polymorphic in this population. And there it is, chromosome 10. It was that simple. Years and years and years of looking for an introgression on all these chromosomes, and we never found one. And then now we know the genes there on chromosome 10. So we used one of those SNP markers to develop a PCR-based marker for in-lab use. I wanted to see what TY6 does when it's in combination with other genes. So we used a Florida 8638B population that contains TY5 and 6. Looked at about 217 plants in the field. We knew the genotype for TY5, collected DNA from each plant individually. We rated each plant individually after inoculation with TYLCV. And the scale at the bottom shows how we evaluate our plants. 0 would be no symptoms, 4 would be extremely severe symptoms and stunning. A 1 would be a very resistant reaction also. And what we found was that both TY5 and TY6 were highly effective in conferring resistance. And the data here is sorted according to genotype there. But let me switch that around and sort it more in line with the disease severity there. What we saw was with TY5, it is a recessive gene. We confirmed that there. And so all those ones up at the top where TY5 is a minus, which means susceptible, homozygous susceptible alleles, or slash means heterozygous, there's no effect there. TY6 did have an effect, and the effect was stronger when you were homozygous for the gene. It's not a dominant gene, it's incompletely dominant or additive. But our best resistance is down there at the bottom. All right, TY5 and 6, two gene combinations. Breeders have seen this before. Combinations of genes work better than single genes alone. Okay. We looked at the combination of TY3 and TY6 together. We actually went back to some older DNA we had stored in the freezer. This came from a 2006 population in which we were trying to find map the TY3 gene. We already had phenotypic data. We already had DNA. We ran our TY6 marker there. Same thing. It was an inoculation with TYLCV. Had over 600 plants in this population. And we see, again, TY3 and 6 work very well. Both of them are significant. TY3 has a slightly stronger effect than TY6, right? Both of those genes are working in an incompletely dominant fashion. And down at the bottom again, lowest disease severity when we have these two genes in combination. All right, one more slide of data on resistance. And I want to point this one out because now we have some data on tomato mottle virus as well, instead of just TYLCV. So we have two different viruses here, a number of different inbred lines that contain one or combinations of two genes, and then the disease severity is there. So up at the top you see Horizon, that's our susceptible control, susceptible in both trials. Down at the bottom there's a line we named TAMU5. This is a line that I got from Kevin Crosby. It contains TY2 from Texas A&M. Works very well for TYLCV. Nothing at all for tomato mottle virus, all right? TY2 does not provide resistance to bipartite bingamoviruses. TY5 also does not provide resistance to tomato mottle virus, all right? You can see Tigris and Florida 8923. Those are the two lines that contain the TY1 or the TY3 gene alone. And they did okay, pretty good for TYLCV. But if you look over at the model, not so well. And again, those genes, they work great for TYLCV, that's what we have in Florida. But if you're talking about bipartite bingamoviruses, you need something else. So then I'm happy to highlight these lines that contain TY6. They did very well for model. You can see on the right, very low disease severities. And that's all because of TY6. We've seen TY5 over and over again. It doesn't do anything at all. So if 8638B right here, the effect there is in against model is simply due to the TY6 gene. So we're very, very encouraged by the data with TY6. It works great in combinations with genes. It's effective against monopartite bigamoviruses, and it looks to be the best source of resistance for bipartite bigamoviruses, which is what is present in many areas of the world, in Guatemala and Brazil, places in Asia. But as nice as that is, when we start looking at allele haplotypes, at SNPs, we see some issues here. So if I were to say the red color, the A allele, is the susceptible allele, we see some susceptible breeding lines to the right. These are the genotypes we see when we genotype with a sole cap SNP chip. All the SNPs on that chip for several select lines that contain TY6 on the left, or that do not contain TY6 on the right. And so like the S1 and the S2, that's what we would hope to see for a SNP if we're going to use it in a breeding program. It's going to be monomorphic among the susceptible lines. What we would like to see is all those resistant ones on the left to be green. So there's always a polymorphism between resistant and susceptible. But not a single SNP on the SoleCap SNP chip, 7,000 plus SNPs, not a single one of them would be really useful in a breeding program unless you're picking and choosing your parents carefully. All right, so when we start looking at kind of a progress report with TY6, what we've learned, kind of a new bigamovirus resistance gene, I say new in quotes because we've been using this gene for years. It's new because we just now have located it. All right, the effect is additive or incompletely dominant, if you will. Very effective for bipartites as well as monopartites, and very effective in combination with other genes. But we've got some challenges. One is getting a useful marker that would work in our breeding program and other breeding programs around the world. To help with that, it'd be nice if we could find an integration from Chalenti. That's where we presume this gene came from. And ultimately, it'd be nice to know what the gene is and how it functions in our understanding of resistance. So quickly, I'll go through some other information that we've generated over the last year or so. We did some whole genome sequencing of several lines, a number of susceptible lines, as well as three lines that contain TY6. And if you plot the SNP frequency for any one of these lines, you plot the SNP frequency per 10,000 bases. How many SNPs do you see in 10,000 bases? Generally, when you get to a wild species integration, you're going to get a greater frequency. Okay, so that's where these peaks would be. And using the software, those ones that are highlighted in red would be the ones that are would be characterized as an integration. Okay, so very nicely, we see this peak off to the right-hand side, right where you expect TY6 to be. If you zoom in with the data here, each of these green bars represents an individual SNP, and you see, wow, there's a really specific region, lots of SNPs there. I saw this data up in Cornell last fall when I was looking over it and got really excited. I thought we had it. I looked at a sister line to 8624, and it had an even smaller region, so the gene, there it is. It must be somewhere in this quarter of a mega base interval, so we started looking at candidates. I made the mistake of looking at one of my susceptible lines, though, and that didn't help too much. All right, so the gene's not here. We're just dealing with regions with high rates of polymorphism between our susceptible and our resistant lines. But if I go back to my original mapping data with that 83-83 population, these were all the markers on chromosome 10 that were significantly associated with resistance. Right down here, 63 to 64 megabases, that's where that region with the high rates of polymorphism was. So now we know the gene's not down here. So we started looking up above it, closer to where we originally hypothesized the gene was. All right, and we zoomed in to just say one snapshot there. It's a little bit faint, but basically I've got some resistant lines there highlighted in green, some susceptible lines highlighted in red, and each of those green bars would be one of those SNPs specific to those lines. And we're looking for these types of SNPs so that they're monomorphic among those resistant lines and then polymorphic with susceptible lines. And we found about 30 or so of these SNPs in a less than one megabase interval. Some of these landed in genes that are candidates that we're investigating further. And we've developed markers from some of these, sent some of these to companies. They've been validated across a broad range of germplasm. So it's really exciting to say that we've done a lot to improve that marker development for use in breeding programs. All right, so like I said, a number of companies have these. We've been sending these out, trying not to keep them in-house, letting other programs use them for a variety of development. We still don't have an integration. We still think this came from Solanum chalensi, but we haven't been able to define the borders of that integration. Maybe that's bad from a standpoint of really honing on the gene and knowing exactly where it is. But on the other hand, maybe it's a good thing because these integrations oftentimes are accompanied by linkage drag. And we can't find one. Perhaps there isn't one. And we're not going to see any negative linkage drag effects. And in fact, we haven't seen any linkage drag effects so far with TY6. All right. I think that's all I've got. So with that, I'll wrap it up. Just say thanks to all the folks in my lab that have been helping all along the way, to the collaborators up at Cornell that helped generate the sequence data. Any questions? Yeah, so the question is, are all these TYLCV resistance genes in the same region, in the same cluster, or are they spread out? And so far, the only one that you could say are in the same region would be the TY1 and TY3. But in fact, those are the same exact gene, just different alleles of the same gene. So they're spread out. So we have TY4 on chromosome 3, TY5 on chromosome 4, chromosome 6 is the TY1 and 3, chromosome 10 and 11. So they're spread out.
Why you're going to narrow it down to a certain region? So have you considered like copying or cloning that gene?
Yeah, so have we considered cloning the gene now that we've narrowed it down? And the answer is yes. So the SNP that we're actually using in our breeding program now to select is within our most likely gene candidate. And so far, we have not broken linkage with that across wide ranges of germplasm. And we have some collaborators that are working on cloning the gene. In my lab, I'm more focused on the breeding than on the gene cloning, but I am collaborating with someone. Yep. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Ben.